Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I mean, if there's a guy on our board that we go, man, I'm just hypothetically, there's the guy 10 spots away at 20, and we're going, man, this guy is really fits us. He's everything we want. He's going to make a big impact now and long term. You'd have to talk about it and, of course, see what it costs. And then obviously you'd have to have the team, you know, willing to make that move with you. So we won't be afraid to go up. We won't be afraid to pick at 30. And listen, if we get at 30, and we go, man, we think we can get a similar player going back and someone's fired up for the pick, then we'd listen to that too. So we're willing to go either way or definitely take that pick at 30. We feel very comfortable with the guys we have. So I'm not going into this draft going, man, we've got to find us a back here in the top few rounds or anything like that. But there are some good players in here. And if he's the best guy on our board, we wouldn't hesitate to take him.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Howdy. Thanks for hanging out with us on a snowy Wednesday.
I pulled up the draft chart. Don't you want to know, hypothetically, go to 20. What would that cost? For the Bills to go from 30 to 20 on the draft value chart, the 20th pick is the Bears. That's worth $850. The Bills are at $620, so you got to go up $230. The Bills' second-round pick is worth about $290.
All right.
So you'd give your second and maybe get a little bit more back. Of course, the draft value chart isn't firm, right? It's a bit fluid.
It's kind of a base that you
it's
use.
A baseline.
Yeah, right.
And maybe the biggest part of it is if two teams are offering, you know, the Falcons, who sit at four, two teams call and say, here's what we'll offer. Well, what's the draft value chart says? What does the draft value chart say? The team that's behind would say, well, we'll add more.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, then it becomes a bidding war, and then that draft value chart's kind of out the window.
I'll hang on to my schedule question because I think we're going to hear from Brandon in a few minutes. He's going to call in, so I don't want to get you in the middle of something like that. But as long as I got you on the whole thing, I'm okay strictly from my sleep schedule, okay, not actually
trading
football.
Up.
I'm good with them trading up. The higher he wants to go, completely okay with that. In fact, I'm going to ask you for some advice. Now, last time Brandon was on with us, we mentioned, I told him I'd prefer him, you know, if you're going to trade out around one, give me a heads up so I can get to sleep. I don't want to have to stay up and find out you trade out at 30 when you're on the clock because I'll be angry about that. How far do I let the Bills go into round one before Brandon Bean has to text me and say, go to bed, we're trading out?
Oh.
I was thinking like by 25, I think is fair, right?
Give me. Well, I guess it would depend on the players that are left. His hypothetical there, my guess is something that, you know, they run through mocks.
Yeah.
And they say, all right, you know, somebody's fallen down the board. It's the 20th pick, and this person's still available. Would
yep.
we do it?
Right, right.
Would we be interested? Let's list the guys that, if they fall, we're willing to go up to 20
yeah.
for it.
I think it's it, right? They do grades on everybody, right? So I'm assuming, I don't know if we've ever asked this, or maybe this is just common sense, this is how they would do it. They put grades on every player, so when they stack their board, do they stack them by rounds, I assume? First round. Here are all the guys we have graded as first-round picks. Here are all the guys we have graded as second-round picks. Because there were a couple times yesterday, Jeremy, where Brandon talked about, when he was asked about maybe trading down or trading up, and he said, well, you know, what's going on? Is our first round wiped out? Like, he used the terminology to say, like, okay, we're at pick 21. Huh. Everybody we had first-round grades on have been picked already. He said, is our first round wiped out? Is the top of our second round wiped out to determine whether or not he would trade back?
That's another thing that's interesting about the draft is every team, it seems, claims that there are not 32 first-rounders.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Will they have 30 first-round guys?
Right. If you have 16 first-round picks and all 16 of them are gone and you're picking at 30, but nobody else wants to trade out of that spot,
mm-hmm.
are you still treating that like a first-round pick? You know, the rules about, well, you don't do this with a first-round pick. Well, we're picking 30th, but we feel like we're taking a second-round guy.
Right.
Right? Like, it's the thing I've always struggled to kind of square away. Hmm. If there are years where there aren't 32 first-round picks, and that's every single year,
mm-hmm.
that seems to me that the measuring stick is wrong. There should be years where you have 20 first-round picks, and there should be years where you have 40.
Deeper drafts, right. Deeper or thinner drafts.
But that never happens. It's always that there are not a full group of 32 players ranked as first-round mm-hmm. picks. I guess there probably are, because the Bills would have these 20, and then the Patriots would have these 20, and maybe 16 of them overlap, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, let's say, I mean, if they stack their board and they have 20 guys with first-round grades, okay, then we know for sure if you're not trading up 10 spots at least, you're getting out of round one if you're going by your board and by the grades you have for everybody. So I'm curious about that. I don't know. That might be too much of a simplification. But when he talked about, you know, our board being wiped out, deciding what to do at 30, I found that very interesting. If they trade up, what are they trading up for? They're not trading up for Kyle Pitts. We know that. I wouldn't think if they trade up.
If he falls to 20.
I meant that. I meant that as an assumption that he doesn't fall like that.
Right.
Like he's not making out of the top five, maybe top 10 for sure. So what do they trade up for? Is there a position where you'd look at and go like edge guy? It's not a great draft at the top, right? Brandon Bean said yesterday with defensive line, there's depth at the position, but it's not necessarily great at the top. What do they move up for?
Maybe not just the Bills, but anybody. What's the story that one or two defensive tackles is going in this first round?
Mm-hmm.
So if you really wanted a defensive tackle, you might move up for the only one that the league seems to think is worth a first-round pick.
Yeah, there was a report, I want to say it was Tony Pauline, I forget who he works with, I apologize, that the Bills and maybe Tampa were targeting a couple of the defensive tackles. The two defensive tackles worthy, apparently, of first-round picks.
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious. If they're going up, I don't know, I mean, are they moving up for a corner? I wouldn't think so. I think if they move up, it's for a pass rusher.
It usually depends on the groupings. If you are sitting at 30 and the last corner of your first group is sitting at 25,
yeah,
that seems that's the kind of move the Bills make often.
And your next corner is at 37 or something,
sure,
or whatever,
right,
on your board, yeah.
Then there's also, you know, built in is you only pick once around, so reaches and steals and all that. You know, a steal is basically you got a player that Mel Kiper had going a lot sooner, and he didn't go a lot sooner. I think about this with was it Tyler Dunn reported that the Bills almost drafted Zay Jones where they drafted Tre'Davious White with the first-round pick.
Oof, yeah.
And I wonder if there's ever been a case where a team thinks about a guy in the first round, says, nah, we'll go with this guy instead. Then you come up to the second round, and he's still there. I mean, you're wiping your brow. I think, whew, all right, well, looks like we scored a big one here. Or maybe even that guy falls to the third round. Not necessarily the Bills, but for any team. So, you know, you're sometimes competing against yourself about two different players, and one of them, you end up getting both.
Well,
Was the Bills on McGahee and Chris Kelce, too.
Got both of them, right. One round, yeah. So the guy who's going to do all this stuff and make all these decisions, assuming he doesn't follow our advice, is joining us on the Wester Hotline, and that would be Bills GM Brandon Bean. Brandon, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
How we doing, guys?
We're doing well. I'm not going to, and you don't have to say you don't listen to us because that would hurt my ego. But do you laugh sometimes when you hear people speculating whether you're trading up, trading down? What would he trade up for? An edge rusher. I don't know what the hell these guys are talking about. Did you just ever like kind of giggle at all this stuff?
I think it's great because it's that's what the sport's about. It's fun. I'd rather everybody be speculating about what we may or may not do than not talking about it. So, it's good. It's a fun time of year. We're excited in the building where we're at, and like I said yesterday, I wish we were picking 32, but hopefully one day we will.
You does your approach, your general approach to this draft, this is different, Brandon, than your previous ones as GM of the Bills. You're in contender now mode. You're drafting at the bottom of rounds, not in the top half of rounds. Does that affect your approach, how you plan for a draft, because you're in this different state, so to speak?
You know, you do think about it, and you do weigh short-term versus long-term, but at the end of the day, you want to take the best player, especially early in the draft. You don't want to bypass, okay, we're going to pass this really good player just to fill this position for need when there's a clear gap between the player. And a lot of times that's why you move around to fill some needs, but you want to make sure you're getting the value. You don't, if you got a guy, we're at 30 and we've got a guy with a first round grade, but it's really not this position, quote unquote, that you guys might say is our need. And then we dip down into the second round on our board and take a position of need. Like, that's not smart. Now, in the fourth, fifth round, after we've drafted a few positions, then you start moving to need a little bit. You may say, okay, it's the fourth round. I've got this guy at the top of the round, but it's really a redundant skill or position that we've already taken, and there's not going to be a lot of room. Let me just take this guy at the bottom of the round that will really fill a better need for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. When it comes to the board this year, was it more of a challenge to put it together given the landscape that college football kind of went through?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been harder to – it's been a harder evaluation process because, you know, we like to get live on campus watching practices, see these guys move around, talk to people, games. Now, later in the year, we were able to go to games and sit in stands and things. It was just it was a weird year, but you're trying to gather information. It's easier when you're on campus, you're bumping into this coach, you're bumping into this trainer, whoever. It's harder to line up Zooms or get people on the phone, you know, more than to bump into people. So it's probably, it's been a harder process, a longer process. But I think we're in a good position. And listen, every team's having to do it, so it's our job to find the advantages in the Zoom world we're in.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. Brandon, when it comes to grading a player or putting a number on a player, is it a specific, this guy's an 8.3? Or do you have a range where, you know, the scouts will all get together, the personnel people all get together and think, okay, player X, whoever it is, we have this as his floor and this as his ceiling. I think a lot of times when we talk about the draft, we talk about quarterbacks that way, and I wonder if the entire board is a little bit of that. You see a running back, you see a wide receiver, you might think this guy has a higher ceiling, but that the other guy has a higher floor and might be a safer pick. So are there ranges within a number that you might apply or whatever the grade might be to a specific player?
Yeah, I mean, we do talk about it, especially when we're comparing players. Let's say we have two linebackers and we're talking about them and we're going, day one, linebacker A, he is going to come in here. He's got a better chance to start right away. He's very smart. He's instinctive. The game comes easy to him. But maybe he doesn't have all the athletic traits that linebacker B does, who's still developing, but you're going, man, if we can get this guy in our system and he doesn't have to play now, maybe he's the better long-range player, and he's going to definitely play four phases of special teams. So he's going to get a jersey, he's going to be a backup, and then hopefully in time he's got a higher ceiling. And so you do weigh that based on where your roster is position by position. You may have a certain position we're going, I can't wait right now. So we got these guys graded similar. I'm going to take the guy who's more ready to play now. Maybe he won't go as high, but he's going to be steady from the get-go. Or if it's a position of depth, that's where maybe you say, all right, you know what, this guy really has a high ceiling. We got to all understand, we got to be patient with him, and we take him.
My takeaway from that might be that as you get to closer and closer to a complete roster, that maybe the higher ceilings become more attractive, or at least not that it's a gamble, but that you have a little bit more room to aim for those higher ceilings.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely it's position by position more than the whole roster. Where are you at in that position? How strong do you feel it is? And, hey, I don't need this guy to come in and start immediately. Fill in, back up, learn from the really good guys that are already here, and then here in time, maybe it's next season, maybe it's two seasons away, you turn it over to them and you're going, man, this was worth the wait.
Brandon, I want to ask you about running back and a philosophical question here, because when it comes to drafting a running back, you could hear different things from different fans. Never take one in the first round. Don't take one in the first 10. Yes, take one in the bottom 10. I knew you talked yesterday about a home run hitter being there. So could you give us your philosophy about drafting a running back in round one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on, you know, you put the value. What does this running back bring to you? I mean, you look at guys in this league, the guy in Minnesota, look at Christian McCaffrey. You know, he's a running back, and he's also a receiver. I mean, Christian McCaffrey could go out and play slot receiver right now and start for almost any team. Alvin Kamara, I mean, same skill set, same draft. Heck of a pick by the Saints that year in the, I think, third round. But so it's what does this running back bring to you? Is he a two-down back? Is he a three-down back? Is he he's a good runner, but he's a great receiver, you know, as the passing game expands. So you put the value and how you're going to fit him into your offense. Like, what is he going to bring? Is he just a short yardage, goal line bruiser, or is he, as I said yesterday, does he have a home run gear? Is he an elite pass catcher? You put all those things into play, and you put the value to how you would use them in your lineup.
The Chiefs came up in your Zoom call yesterday, and I wanted to ask you about, again, in terms of your draft approach. You've talked in the past, and other GMs do the same thing. Be aware of what's happening in your division. You know who you're matching up with, you know, two times every season, those other teams. How much of Kansas City, what they have and how you match up with them, and you mentioned, you know, Mahomes isn't going anywhere for a while, how much of what they're doing and who they are might impact your draft selections?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely talk matchups. You talk about in division, and you do talk about it with the teams, whether it's the Kansas Cities, you know, there's some other playoff teams. Baltimore's been there a lot. You talk about all the teams. You know, obviously you got to get out of your division first, so that's first and foremost before you talk about these other teams. But once you get out of that, if you can win your division, now how are we going to get to the game? Who are we going to have to go through to get to the big game? So you do talk about those matchups and what you have on your roster, what could be exploited if you played them today, you know, whether it's going into free agency or the draft. So you definitely have that, but you don't want to reach. I can't sit here and say, hey, we're missing this one piece on defense to quote-unquote stop Mahomes, and, you know, he's really a third-round player, but I'm going to reach for him, you know, at 30 or somewhere in the second round. So you still got to let the board put the value on the player and try and get him at the right position.
Jeremy asked you earlier about how this draft is different. The prep is different in so many ways. One of them is medicals, and you mentioned this yesterday, and I'm curious, listening to you talk about it's not at the normal level. You didn't get all the medical information you normally would have. Does it affect you now? Are you at a point where you wouldn't draft a guy necessarily this year because there is an injury history or something happened and you just don't have the full medical information you normally would get? This time you can't chance it.
Yeah, there are some guys that we've talked about, and I'm going to have some follow-ups. But our doctors, it's crazy. By now, that, you know, it's pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered with all the draft guys, because not only did they see him in February, but they had where they bring him back, you know, in early April to re-image him, re-see him. So they're getting a second look at him. And then we got a lot of guys, we haven't seen him at all, so you are having to do their medical history or what images you got on him. It's, you know, I really did not agree with the league doing this, because even if we can't watch him run the 40, do the drills, the medical is the most important thing at Indy. And a lot of teams, I know I've talked to several, are scrambling right now, just like we are, to try and close as many loops on these guys to feel comfortable taking this player. The last thing you want to do is take a guy in the first, second round, and you come in and your doctors get their hands on him going, hey, you know what, he needs a surgery. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. And that's a fear a lot of teams have, that normally you already know that by now, that this guy, hey, he may need his shoulder scoped, or he may have a hernia, and you put him on your board knowing that, hey, I may move him down a little bit, but I'm willing to accept this player with this he's going to be out for the rest of the spring, but he'll be ready for training camp.
Bills GM Brandon Bean, how about fifth-year options? I mean, you've got to turn your attention to that once we get to past the draft. So should we be expecting news? You want to just tell us what the story is on fifth-year options?
You know what? Honestly, we've discussed it internally a little bit, but it's really get through this draft, and then immediately, you know, we get done Saturday. We'll talk, you know, Sunday, Monday, and up till May 3rd, and then make the right decision for us. But as I said yesterday, it's, you know, ideally the cap would have been up at 210, and it makes these decisions much easier. But we're going to try and figure it out. We love both players, and they've done a great job, and so we'll make that decision after the draft.
With the Josh Allen extension, Brandon, in light of the comments yesterday, you said you didn't think the cap was going to have a big increase next year. How important is the cost certainty of the biggest contract you'll be handing out to know exactly what the cap numbers are and have that knowledge before the next season begins, as opposed to, hey, we just can't work the numbers out, we'll take care of it next year?
Yeah, you know, we do want to do the best we can to see, again, are we going to have, is the league expecting full stadiums everywhere, or what's the revenue going to be, and how's that going to impact the cap? You know, even full stadiums, it's not going to be this huge jump back above where we were last season. I think a lot of us are hoping it just gets back to that 198 number. I don't know that it'll even get to 200. We'll see, but we will try and, you know, when we talk to his people this year, we'll try and come up with something that we know we can make work not only for this year, but 22 and where it's going to go in 23 and beyond. So that'll all be part of it. I think I was, you know, somebody asked me about that yesterday, and I got into the structure of it. Mm-hmm. That'll be part of the, not the APY, but how we structure it so that we can still put weapons, you know, around Josh next year. We don't want to sign him and then all of a sudden, hey, you know what, Josh, we're going to have less weapons because we signed you. We got to be smart, and that's the balance we got to weigh, and those will be the conversations we have with his representatives.
How do you feel about night games and lots of them?
Well, I like Sunday at 1 o'clock,
yeah,
all day, woo, every day. But at the end of the day, it's a good problem to have. You know if you're getting, you know, more than the everybody gets to play one primetime game or whatever the league does. You know, the more you play, you're having some type of success. So we'll gladly accept it. But I always enjoy the Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff.
Hey, we're going to let you get back to work, but just, I got a system worked out, okay, Brandon? You know, we get up kind of early, you know, Friday morning after the draft. So if you hit like 25 and you realize you're trading out around one, could have Derek Boyko send me a text like, go to bed?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't
definitely
mind?
No, not at all. I mean, I could actually, what I could do is just set up a Zoom with you where you can sit in the war room while we talk, and then that way when I get the trade done, if you hear me that I trade it out, you can just go into bed and turn the Zoom off.
I'm absolutely okay with that, by the way. If you want to do that, send me the link. I'm in.
He wouldn't even want any of the inside information. He really just wants to know if
no,
he can
I just want to go to bed. I swear I'm not tweeting it out, Brandon. Sources tell me the Bills are trading out. I just want to save an hour of sleep.
Yeah, we're in the trust tree, so I got it.
It's in the vault. It's like Seinfeld says, it's in the vault, Brandon. You can trust me.
I got you. We're all in. I'll have Boyko mail you that link.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Thank you for coming on with us, as always. And good luck in the draft. Have fun.
You got it, guys. Good talking to you.
Brandon Bean, Bills GM, joining us on the Western Hotline.
Now, I mean, I want to speak for him, but you also probably want the draft to get here and get gone, because you can probably golf a lot more after that, you know?
Hit the golf course. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're busy. Like, all right, golf season starts when the draft's over.
He says it's going to be 73 on Wednesday. If that keeps continuing, let's get through the draft, man, because it is, right, it's golf. Not today, but next week will be golf weather. Yeah. All right, follow up on some of the stuff he said. I know you've got a really fun mock draft game we're going to do, too, so stay tuned for that. You got any calls, comments? Just heard from the GM. Love to get your reaction to some of the stuff we covered. 803-0550 to join us. 803-0550. What am I telling you? Oh, yeah. Hoagie Hump Day. Sorry. Got to remind you, it's Hoagie Hump Day. It's Wednesday. So tweet us today at some point. Tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. Why are you doing that? You have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. Again, tweet at WGR550 and hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. Brought to you by Jim's Steakout. Get your hoagie on. Visit JimsSteakout.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Maybe if we get a 12th defender on the field, that would help. But he's an MVP. He's elite. Twice he's been in the Super Bowl and once the AFC Championship. So he's up there for a reason. And when you're facing guys, there's very few guys, I mean, that have already what he's done, accomplished what he's already done, you know, in three seasons playing. And so it's going to be a tough match no matter when we play him, where we play him, how we play him. And you just got to try and, on the defensive side, build as many weapons as you can, whether that's in the secondary, whether that's speed linebackers chasing down, obviously the front. I mean, you saw what Tampa did. You know, their front really did a nice job versus Kansas City's front, which affected him and got him off his spot.
Brandon Bean from the Zoom call yesterday talking about how to deal with Patrick Mahomes. We'll get back to football in a second. I also owe you the three stars from last night's game between the Sabres and Bruins, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Duke Rask, Brad Marchand, and David Pasternak. Those would be your three stars from last night. Good news, Jeremy. I got the phone. I got a phone number. Derek Boyko from the Bills just texted me. I have the phone number to dial in for access to the war room on draft night. I'll share it with everybody. It is 867-5309. So I want to thank the Bills for sending me that number. I'm good to go for access to the draft room. I can't wait to dial it up. You know the song, right? 867-5309? Okay.
Yeah. That's what you call Jenny, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least he didn't say like 555-1212, the old information number.
It'd be fun to be in the draft room.
I would love to experience that, you know? Yeah, just to see all the stuff that's happening and conversations they're having and how often are guys working the phones with other teams calling them or them calling around for trade-ups.
You know,
it's cool.
Makes me think. How come we've never seen a draft board? I don't even mean this year. None's ever, right? We don't have any that have ever leaked. Not 5 years later, the mainframe, wrong term probably, got hacked. Mainframe. And we got access to the Buccaneers trade board.
Yeah.
Or draft board.
Or someone tweets out an old picture and somehow there's a draft board in the background and you're able to actually look at it.
Every once in a while you get a little bit of a corner of one, but
yeah.
Those things are guarded like the nuclear football. You never, ever see a draft board.
Yeah.
And I would just love to get, you know, a look at that.
Yeah.
See
how it's stacked. See all
see
that
how
stuff.
It stacks
yeah.
up, right.
I think that would be fascinating. I think, I don't know, it's not the draft board, but I want to say a couple weeks ago there was a story, you know, San Francisco trading up to three. Everybody knows they're going to take a quarterback. Everybody's speculating on who it's going to be. And I think it was, Pulse Positive was the 49ers, that like Shanahan and Lynch, or maybe even just Shanahan, like nobody, like he's not telling anybody in the building. He's not letting anybody privy to the information on which guy he wants at three. Like he knows what quarterback they want. Him and Lynch yeah. traded up, but they're not telling their scouts. They're not, I don't think you actually put up a draft board and hide it from everybody until the day of the draft. But it's funny to hear some of the stuff that maybe the main guys in the draft situation aren't even letting get to other people in the building.
Well, there's breaking news on Devonta Smith. Albert Breer just switches out. We brought him up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to you as a guy that, you know, in the scenario where somebody falls to 20th and they move up, he's not a bad answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Heisman Trophy winner had not been weighed by anybody.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned his measurements on the show yesterday, right?
Yeah. So there wasn't any real public knowledge of what he weighed. And there's concerns he's too small. Well, mm-hmm. Albert Breer just tweeted it out. The teams did not get athletic numbers from the medical combine earlier this month, but they did get measurements, and that meant that
oh my.
They finally got Devonta Smith on a scale.
Wow.
Per sources, he is 166 pounds.
Dude's got to put on a little poundage.
He's 6 foot zero, not 6'1", 175, 6 foot 0.2
yeah.
and 166. And I just think that there's no – I shouldn't say there's no way. That means he's going to drop. It definitely doesn't help his draft stock, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a team liked him anyway and thinks we don't care about that. But nobody sees those numbers and thinks, good.
No, he's going to need to bulk up a little bit. And whatever, they'll put him in a strength and conditioning program, right? You'd still look at the ability and the talent. Wouldn't you can make him bigger, right? Can't you? Is there only so much you can do on a 6 foot point? Hang on. 6 foot 0.2 frame, is that the biggest issue? You can only bulk up so much?
Well, I mean, are you sure you want him to bulk up? Because you're getting him for
he's fast.
What he is.
I know, he's fast.
How fast he is,
right.
Everything about him. And I just wonder if that means a guy like that could drop. Mm. Because, you know, the medical, if you think back to drafts past, one of the things I think that we often do about drafts, I mean, I do this, you do this, is in the moment on Thursday, a lot of things will be said. Somebody will drop from 7th on the big board to the 28th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is medical. Because a lot of the teams, and Brandon Bean talked about medical with us, right? Like,
yep.
He says that's the biggest thing. I'm trying to think who was the – was linebacker Notre Dame, Jacksonville. He had a knee issue. He kept sliding down the board. There's a degenerative thing. He kept sliding down the board.
Adrian Peterson, right? Didn't he have an injury in Oklahoma, right?
Maybe. I might be mixing my – Miles Jack, is that who I'm thinking of?
Miles Jack, yes.
Okay. And sometimes a guy will have an issue, and like Brandon Bean told us, well, he's got to have a surgery right away. How about mm-hmm. Shaq Lawson, right?
Yeah, shoulder.
The Bills
right.
draft Shaq Lawson and discover he has a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
So medical can sometimes mean a guy's going to fly down the board a little bit, and I don't know if Smith, in his case, being 166, means that he goes from wide receiver 3 for some to wide receiver 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It's a position, I think, that is prone to having guys fall. Because whatever, fit, scheme, and in his case, size and frame.
Yeah, I think the medical thing is interesting because it hasn't happened before. This is new. This is something. And the Bills aren't. I mean, the nice thing is we can bring up everything about how different this year has been. Less games to watch. Some teams like FCS teams didn't even play until after the first of the year. Teams that played in the fall didn't have full seasons. You didn't have like big non-conference matchups to watch a Power 5 guy face another Power 5 guy, whatever. No combine, no 30 guys coming into the facility. It's a long list of things, but everybody's in the same boat. To me, the medical thing was really interesting, and I didn't realize – I knew about the medicals in Indy, but I didn't realize there was an annual follow-up in April that being mentioned, that teams get it, like players go through a second evaluation as a follow-up, and you get that in April in the weeks leading up to the draft. That's why I think there I wanted to ask it because I think there's got to be. I would think there will be players, maybe a guy they would normally take at 30.
But he's had an issue at college. He had an injury or something has happened in terms of the medical. And as Brandon Bean said, they couldn't fill the loophole, so to speak. And that guy's not going to be taken because they just don't have the normal amount of medical-based information they would have on that player to feel confident enough, at least in the first round anyway, right? Maybe in the, you know, maybe in the fourth round or fifth round, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But in the first round, if they don't have all the information they usually get, yeah, I could see teams backing away from a player that might normally pick at that spot.
Let's do a little mock draft reaction here. I think we should do this once a day. We've got what? How many shows until the draft? We've got
what's today?
Today,
Wednesday,
tomorrow,
Thursday, Friday, four, one, six. Two.
Okay, six shows. So we'll do this six times. We'll do a mock draft, and the Bills will get somebody, and we will mock our reaction to this mock draft. Not like make fun of it, but how we would feel if this happened.
What the hell is Bean doing?
Because I think I'll just choose the outcome this time. I think it's an obvious one because, again, he didn't dampen any sort of fire.
Back. Yeah,
the running back conversation has got to be front and center. So,
yep.
All right, I'll run it on the Draft Network because the DraftNetwork.com, you can do a lot of really fun mock drafts. It came to the Bills, and I mean, Travis Etienne's there. The pick is in, and it's Travis Etienne. How does everyone react?
Am I reacting now? Or are we
react
doing it
right now? It's a mock draft. Pick is in. They're showing the highlights. They're talking about what it means for the Bills. You're asleep.
Well, yeah, no, I'm staying up because you didn't text me that they're trading out.
I was going to say, let me change this. You have just woken up at 3 in the morning to go back and watch who the Bills have taken, and you see...
That's good. I would do that, actually.
that it's Travis Etienne. Your reaction.
Okay. I'm not angry. I'm telling you, this is, you're not going to be happy with my reaction, right? It's not, yeah! And it's not, what the hell? Like, I was angry when they took Spiller. I'm not going to react that way. It's not the, what was he, eighth, whatever the heck pick it was. And I'm like, okay, it's going to help the offense. This kid's an electric player. I watched a lot of Clemson football. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm good with it. Okay, fine. Not a problem. Not doing handstands, not doing cartwheels, not planning a route for the Super Bowl. Screw you, Chiefs, we're coming to get you. Okay, fine. That'll help. That makes him better.
Now, when I did this, the mock draft, the other options were Christian Barmore was there.
Defensive tackle,
line.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. If you wanted that. Jason Away, edge rusher, Penn State, is there. You also had Javonte Williams. Kadarius Toney, wide receiver.
Javonte Williams. Right.
People like him quite a bit.
Yep.
And also interesting was Trey Lance sliding all the way to 30th.
Hey, did you see, by the way, there was a little, what was I watching? I think it was NFL Network. Yeah, I was watching Path to the Draft, and there's a commercial with Josh Allen, a draft promo with Josh Allen basically saying to Trey Lance, don't listen to all the doubters. You know, small school, Wyoming, North Dakota State, and, you know, Josh just had this big year. It's cool. It was really cool. They used Josh to do a whole, hey, if everybody doubts your ability, and he, whatever. I don't have the exact words, but anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. What were you asking me? They're not drafting Trey Lance. I'll be honest with you. Not vibing a defensive tackle. That would be one of the spots where I go, oh, come on, really?
So if they draft Etienne, your reaction is, okay.
Okay, good.
All right. Mine is sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to all the points about how there might be a smarter approach, and I'm going to say you might be right. But there's just the factors I want to put in there. If I have to accept that there aren't 32 first-rounders, then I don't have to treat this as a first-round pick anymore. And right?
Like, yeah.
I want to get to that a running back at 4 is not the same as a running back at 30. And – what it would say to me, you know, there's the pick itself, and then there's what does the pick mean. If they, at 30, draft Etienne, which I don't necessarily think they will, but, again, we're doing mock draft reactions. We'll do one a day. Today's the running back. If they do that, that says we're dialing up the offense even more.
Right. And that's the home run hitter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a home run hitter in the run game, in the passing game. Can you put him in the slot? Can you, whoever the running back might be, if he's versatile enough to do a lot of different things? I mean, Bean was talking about Christian McCaffrey saying he can be a slot receiver.
Slot receiver, right.
Can I do that with Travis Etienne? When we talked a couple months ago, if you could pick one Bills drought player to add to this team, who would it be? My answer was Spiller. Chan Gailey put him in the slot. He had him running wheel routes against linebackers, and it was really effective.
Yep.
And he was great running the football when it was his turn. So, I'd be into it. You tell me you're going to take the offense that they have and put it on steroids, or you're going to make it even better. Every conversation – sorry, I'm rambling here, but yesterday I saw Colin Cowherd comparing Mahomes and Allen and saying how there are a lot of NFL evaluators that think that Allen's better, and they would take Allen over Mahomes.
Really?
And if we're talking like that,
wow,
then – what would the Chiefs do?
Last year they took a running back.
The Chiefs took a piece that was going to say, this piece will continue to sustain this offense. Right or wrong, that was the idea.
Yeah.
And the Bills' idea would be, we're going to – this offense we had, efficient, great, excellent. We want to go even more. And I just think that the national conversation on the Chiefs' offense is still like it's the 99 Rams, and the Bills' conversation on the offense – isn't quite there yet nationally. I want it there. I want the Bills talked about routinely as the most explosive offense in football. And if they make a pick to jack it up even more, I'd be good with it.
I'll have another point to bring up in the whole reaction to running back, but we'll do that when we get back. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The goal is to try and fill as many spots as we can so that we're not going into this draft with a void somewhere. You know, if they left and we didn't find proper replacements, you know, it's not fun going into the draft going, man, we can't get out of day two without this player. It puts a lot of pressure on you, and sometimes now you're reaching a little bit. It can happen because sometimes, you know, you lose a free agent and you're not able to find the right guy in free agency for whatever reason. So I've seen it happen, but very glad to get those guys back, and it does help open the board up.
Brandon Bean, Bills GM, we had him on earlier this hour, and if you missed it, but you would like to hear the interview, it is in on-demand audio. Check it out, WGR550.com. Quick point, Jeremy, to follow up on your reaction to the running back in the mock draft exercise. Another reason why I wouldn't be, what, are you kidding me? I mean, and it isn't as much about 8 versus 30, top 10, bottom 10, where you pick in the draft. I understand that is a relevant part of the discussion. I'll be honest with you. I'm not looking at a spot, like a particular position. And this is a good thing because it means, you know, the Bills are building towards that complete roster that you brought up with Brandon earlier this hour. There is no position. Like, if they take a running back at 30, I'm not going, what the hell are you doing? You needed an edge. You know, you had to get the edge guy there. Or you had to get, hello, CB2, anybody? Like, I mean, there's round two. There's round three. They'll get other guys that might... I don't know why I just thought of McGahee. Like, I was angry when they took McGahee because I wanted him to take help for the defensive line. All right, what are they doing in round two? They took Kelsey. Like, I just look at it and I don't think they would be sacrificing a spot or missing the boat and hurting the team by not addressing basically defense at 30 or wherever you pick in round one. And it's not to me, I don't look at it and go, well, that's a luxury pick. You really needed to get a pass rusher. Hughes is getting older. Addison's getting older. You haven't had a starting cornerback opposite of Trey White in 4 years here. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time with a running back? That's not the reaction I would have because I don't think any of those would fall into the discussion that we're having here about going there at 30.
Anyway, right. That's my short answer on a late to the break. In fact, I'm not sure. Like, I really don't want a defensive tackle. I'm trying to think, like, up position where I would go, what the hell? It's not cornerbacks, not running backs, not edge rusher. I don't know that I'd even get upset if they took a wide receiver. I probably wouldn't. That defensive tackle, it just does nothing for me. I have no idea why. I don't know if it's because they took Ed Oliver there. I wouldn't want a defensive tackle to not take on a quarterback. You know what? I can make a case for them going with offensive line, but I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be happy if they took an offensive lineman at that slot.
I don't want your reactions on every position. We're going to do this six more times.
All right. Sorry about that. Strike what I just said.
But we'll have names on it. And, you know.
The jury is instructed to not pay attention to what I just said, which is
meanwhile,
standard procedure around here.
Have you seen the report? I forget who it was that the Niners traded up to 3 and they don't know who they're taking.
No, I didn't see that. They just know they're taking quarterback, but they're not sure which one.
Yeah. Do you believe that for a single second?
No, I don't. No.
No, neither do I.
If you're moving up to 3, you've done your evaluation, and you know there's going to be two guys off the board, and you're feeling good about the guy that you love is going to be there.
And you know Trevor Lawrence is going 1.
Yep.
The guy that's picking, the coach is the team that picks number 2.
That's right.
Worked for you last year.
Yeah. Hey, Robert.
You know who they're taking.
Yeah.
You move to 3.
Absolutely.
Who's your guy? It's going to be Zach Wilson. All right, cool.
Thanks.
Sure, because I'm going to move up to 3. You guys take Zach. We're good on that? All right, good. Let's go.
Yeah, the Jets don't have to worry about giving out information because San Francisco wasn't trading into 1. Yeah, that's. I'm pretty sure they know who they're taking. Let's see. We'll get a break in. We'll take your calls on football, on the draft, on Brandon Bean's comments. How would you react if the Bills took a running back at 30? Whatever else you want to get to, that's fine too. 803-0550. We'll also check in with Paul when we get back as well on WGR.